Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio. Thank you for tuning in, or if you're on the app, I don't know what you're doing exactly. Maybe you're logged on. Are you logged on to an app, Walker?
Yes.
You're logged on to the internet, you're tuned into the radio, and you're what to the app?
You're using the app. You're on the app.
You're using it. So thank you for using the app.
That's right.
Okay, thank you for tuning into the radio. Thank you for logging onto the internet.
Yeah, and listening to the app.
Or listening to the app, which I'll bring you right here to this one place.
That's right.
Just Today's Issues on American Family Radio. That's Walker Wildman. I'm Tim Wildman. It's a father-son combo. Do you want fries with that? Ed Battagliano is with us.
Good morning. Want fries.
You want
yes,
fries
sir.
With that combo?
That's right.
You want to biggie size them?
Well, we had our healthy, our kind of a healthy thing this morning, and so I better not biggie size those fries.
Okay. Hey, when do we have Judge Moore on?
We have Judge Roy Moore at 10:15. He'll be calling in to the studio here.
So the next senator from the state of Alabama, Judge Roy Moore.
Yes. Pretty positive that's the way it's going to be. He has the final general election.
What do you mean? That he's going to win?
The likelihood in Alabama with the majority of the state being Republican is that he will win the Senate seat in December.
I thought you meant we're pretty positive he's going to be on with us at 10:15.
No, he's going to be on with us at 10:15, but we
better be. We supported him.
It is most likely that he will be the Senate.
Yes,
the senator from Alabama in December.
But it's absolutely certain he's going to be on the air with us
in
8 minutes.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm positive.
We have his cell phone.
You can take
that
to the bank.
Do you have a cell phone?
I don't have a cell phone.
Okay, well, we'll get it if we need
to. And if we have to, we'll put his cell phone number on the air.
Yeah, just like Trump.
Everybody call Judge Moore and tell him to call in.
Just like Trump gave out Lindsey Graham's cell phone number at a rally.
Only Trump.
Y'all remember that?
Yes, I remember that. Oh, my word. Ed Battagliano, Tim Wildman, Walker Wildman, thank you for listening to American Family Radio. We're going to – what are we doing, Walker, on the Facebook?
We're live streaming on Facebook, and so you can watch the show right now there. People are already commenting. Christina said, praise God for Judge Roy Moore.
So amen. We echo that sentiment.
A lot of people are already commenting there. And the news stories regarding everything going on in our country and the world will all be posted on the Today's Issues page.
You're going to post everything that's going on in the country and the world?
Thousands of news articles.
Walker.
Within the next hour and an hour.
He's upped his game head in the head.
Yes, he has.
I might have overpromised, but hey, we'll give it a shot.
Everything that's going on in the world, you can find it on our Facebook page.
Hey, that people should come then.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, kind of false advertising.
Promised, but get them in there. Hook them.
There you go.
Get their
then when they can't get out.
Right. It'd be the Hotel California of the internet right
of
there.
Of the internet. Yes,
Facebook for Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Check it out. We're live video streaming and audio streaming. The big news, political news, Chris Woodward.
Yes.
Who's filling in for Fred Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Is the victory by the judge.
Right. Yeah, all over onenewsnow.com at the moment. We'll be updating that throughout the day as Steve Jordahl, Chad Groening, and company follow this and get reaction to it. But somebody mentioned praising God a minute ago. Judge Moore did that last night in a speech to reporters. Senator Strange also addressed his supporters from Birmingham. This is clip one here, Devin.
I believe we can make America great, but we must make America good, and you cannot make America good without acknowledging the sovereign source of that goodness, the sovereign source of our law, liberty, and government, which is Almighty God.
Amen. This is not the result that we wanted, but I've congratulated Judge Moore. I've already talked to him on the phone. Melissa and I wish him the best. We're Republicans. We care very much about this country. We care very much about this state. and we wish him the best going forward as he faces the next challenge.
Well, that's a good, gracious concession. I'm looking at an MSN.com article. This is very interesting. It says that an infuriated President Donald Trump watched aboard Air Force One as Fox News called the Alabama Senate primary for Roy Moore against Trump's favored candidate Luther Strange, and it said what ensued was a barrage of angry venting at his political team and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who had consolidated establishment GOP support behind Strange. Boy, and then some. It says Trump, officials and informal advisors say, felt misled by McConnell, who encouraged him to endorse and campaign for Strange.
Well, that's on Trump. That's his fault. He should have known better.
I'm glad he blamed McConnell.
Yeah, this was the test for them. If they could win this seat, McConnell could say to Trump, "Look, I got this all. Everything's going great. I'm in control. We're going to get your agenda done." He was wrong. He failed the test. And I think going forward, when Mitch McConnell goes, "Hey, you need to endorse my buddy over here in this state," Trump's going to say, "See what happened last time."
I think Donald Trump said, "I don't know these guys down in Alabama. Mitch, who should I be for?"
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell says Luther Strange.
We've had sources tell us that. I spoke with a gentleman from Conservative Review.
Well, that's still President Trump's fault. Don't get me wrong. Please don't start posting on our Facebook page and sending me emails to Tim saying, "Tim, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. President Trump is not wrong here."
Ed and I are taking care of that.
Okay, let me explain myself in a rational, civil way here. Okay. Mr. Strangelove.
He's not a doctor.
Wasn't that a movie?
Classic movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interim Senator Strange is, from all accounts, a wonderful man. And he voted for President Trump's agenda while he was in Washington the short time that he was senator, because he replaced Jeff Sessions, who's only been the Attorney General for a few months. So if you're voting for the president's agenda, 90% or whatever, then he's going to probably endorse you, President Trump. But now, President Trump, if you guys are saying that President Trump calls Mitch McConnell to find out who to back,
then that's
laughable.
Okay.
See what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because I was going to use the example, if you came to me and you said, "Ed, here's this movie. Should we recommend this AFA?" And I say yes, and it turns out to be horrible. But you're saying you wouldn't have asked me if you didn't trust me. And the problem is that Donald Trump should not have trusted Mitch
McConnell.
Donald
Trump should call Steve Bannon and ask him who to support.
He took advice from the wrong people in this situation.
He did.
Bannon was at a rally speaking on behalf of Moore.
Yesterday. So anyway, this really doesn't matter anymore. Judge Moore won. But I'm just saying that the president, I do fault him for not knowing any more about the race in Alabama than to know who the right person to support, or either just as probably wise a lot of times just to stay out of primaries when you have
But you certainly shouldn't ask Mitch McConnell.
Right.
I say, Ed, you just bingoed. Yeah. Right there. All right. Well, anyway, we have on the phone with us, pardon me, our good friend, Judge Roy Moore, who won yesterday in Alabama in the Republican primary, and now he will face a Democrat challenger in, I guess it's December. I thought it was November, but I guess it's December, to decide who will take the place of Luther Strange, who's in the Senate now, who replaced Jeff Sessions. And Judge Moore is on with us from Montgomery, I'm assuming. I'm not sure exactly. Judge, this is Tim. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Yes, I'm calling from Montgomery. I'm in my car because I can't get all these telephone calls. they're coming in. It's pretty busy.
Yeah.
But, yes, the general runoff or the general election is in December, on December 12th. And the reason that is because it's a special election, and all the dates are out of sync with what we normally experience in elections. So it's coming up not too far. So
how much did Mr. Strange's campaign outspend you?
About 15-1. They probably even greater than that, but they were estimated to spend over $30 million, not just his campaign, but all the Senate Leadership Fund money and special interest out of Washington. So we've got about maybe $1.5, $2 million. So it's about 15-1.
Well, I tell you what, if somebody spent $30 million on a campaign, you spent, what did you spend?
Well, it's about $2 million, somewhere around there.
I want my money back if I'm on the other side of this deal here.
Well, I agree with you. They wasted a lot of money, and they wasted foolishly.
Yeah.
Because I was supported by the people of Alabama, and they should have known that.
Yeah. Hey, give me two or three things you want to do when you go to Washington, assuming you win in December, which are Republicans. That's a pretty safe assumption. Go ahead.
I would like to bring back the knowledge of the Constitution. I think that's the biggest deficit in Washington. We're voting on bills. We're doing things without any regard to what the Constitution says. The Constitution is very explicit on what belongs to the federal government and what to the states. We're just completely ignoring it and doing whatever we want. And we should, whether it's a declaration of war, whether it's spending on health care, education, anything. We're just doing what we feel like we want to do. And when you do that, then you experience problems. One of the problems we have is a federal judiciary that's completely out of control. They think they make law. They think they're above the Constitution. They're not. That needs to be brought back to an understanding. Then we've got the problem with morality. People don't even understand where morality comes from anymore. They think that it may be the Supreme Court. Well, if that's the case, then our morality is always in flux because they'll come up with new ideas always. Mm-hmm. We've got to go back to an understanding that God is the source of morality. And that is our right to worship God is contained in the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, which we're now interpreting is forbidding the acknowledgement of God's public worship. Everything seems to be turned on its end.
We're talking to Senator, perhaps the next senator, I'll just say it that way, from the state of Alabama, Judge Roy Moore, and he won yesterday in a runoff against Luther Strange, who is in the Senate now, who is the interim, having been appointed by the governor to replace Jeff Sessions, who is the Attorney General of the United States. Well, Judge, I know you got a lot of other interviews to do, and we appreciate your time. We're so glad you won. We supported you, obviously, in your campaign, and we look forward to seeing you at the Values Voters Summit in a couple of weeks, where you'll be speaking at our luncheon.
Yes, sir. Look forward to that.
You know that, don't you?
I do know.
Okay.
I do know that.
You're going to be there. You're going to be there.
I will be there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, because we're publicizing it, and if you're a no-show, then we look bad. So, okay. Thank you, Judge.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye. That's Judge Roy Moore. Anyway, he's 70. Of course, President Trump's 71 now.
Right.
70's the... 70's the 50 now, I guess, today, because I remember when President Reagan ran for office, and he was 70 when he was running.
Yeah.
And people consider that to be old at that time.
Yeah.
Now it's not considered, 70 is not considered to be old anymore.
Judge Moore is a wealth of knowledge on not only on the Bible, but on the Constitution. And he's a unique candidate. You know, we have conservative candidates, Christian candidates, you know, each year running for certain offices that we support. But Judge Moore is a unique character in the sense that he has so much experience and knowledge in the Constitution and the law.
Right.
I would say I have not seen a man like him run for office in a long time.
Right. Right. I'm not sure how this works, but he talked about the judiciary there being out of control. It seems to me that he might like to be on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Again, I don't know how that works. I don't know if you have to be invited or you say, I want to be on this, and, you know,
no, you have to be, you get appointed.
Okay.
Mr. McConnell.
Yes.
Awkward conversation.
Well, you know, in a way, politics is like sports. Yeah, you're enemies, but you know what? You still come onto the field and shake hands before the game
right.
starts. Yeah. And after the game's mm-hmm. over, you go over and congratulate the other guy, or you say good game, no matter whether you win or lose. These are grown men. McConnell sided with Strange because McConnell's an establishment guy. He did not want Roy Moore. McConnell didn't, because Roy Moore is not an establishment guy. He
right.
is a true conservative mm-hmm. who's going to stick with his principles first and foremost. And but Roy Moore understands where McConnell's coming from, even though he completely disagrees with him.
Right.
And McConnell understands where
right.
Moore's coming from. And Moore was duly elected yes. by the citizens of Alabama. Mm-hmm. Again, he's got to go against the Democrat mm-hmm. in December, but we're assuming yep. that he wins in that.
There's going to be a lot of legal
arguments.
So
my point is, I don't think there's going to be any personal animosity. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think it's professional and everybody understands how the game's played. But, yeah, McConnell wanted Strange to win because he evidently had more, quote, control over him than he did, mm-hmm. than he will over Roy Moore. Go ahead,
Chris. Well, I'm sorry to interject there. The gentleman that he's facing off against is Doug Jones, a Democrat, a former attorney. So you have a former Chief Justice of Alabama scoring off against an attorney. That will be interesting to see the legal arguments between those two, because as Judge Moore pointed out there, there's some constitutional issues in the way of healthcare, education, obviously spending, and then you've got the judiciary. So I would like to see, I mean, that's definitely popcorn TV for me, to see a debate between those two just on the Constitution and what it says and does not say.
You know, if I'm Judge Moore and I'm, let's say they do a debate or a forum mm-hmm. before the general election in December, the first question I would ask his Democrat opponent is, do you support kneeling during the national anthem or not? And he's got to pick sides there. Either you support the players and their, you know, right to free speech and protest, or you support our country and our national anthem. That is a question Democrats do not want to be asked right now when they're in an election cycle.
Especially in Alabama.
Yeah.
Well, I'd ask him, if I were Judge Moore, I'd ask, what's the Democrat's name?
Doug Jones.
I'd ask Doug Jones, is Mitch McConnell giving you money? Because he gave my other opponent money, $30 million. Is he going to give you money too? What do you think that's a fair question, Ed?
It is. I'm sure he'll probably laugh it off. I hope he laughs. I hope he laughs it off. I hope that's an absurd question. I hope the Republican, you know, National Committee or, you know, is not going to give money to a Democrat. Although we had in this state, I mean, do I dare go there?
He's being cynical, but that stuff happens.
No, yeah. I know. In this state, the state of Mississippi, mm-hmm. if
yes.
you remember, Chris McDaniels.
Not too long ago.
Yes. There were Republicans who, my understanding was, encouraged Democrats to cross over to make sure that Chris McDaniels was defeated. Am I right about that?
Yes. We won't relive this whole story.
I live it every day.
Well, when was it, 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
It was in 2014.
2014 in the state of Mississippi. The longtime senator, Republican, Thad Cochran, was almost defeated by a challenger, Chris McDaniel, a state legislator mm-hmm. who was coming from a more conservative
right.
view,
Tea Party
type. He almost knocked off the longtime senator in the primary, Republican primary, but then when they had a final runoff, Democrats came out to support the senator, which allowed him to defeat the
right.
McDaniel. So Democrats just had a momentary time when they thought they needed to get out and vote in a Republican primary. They were so convicted.
Because the thing is, it wasn't Republicans
right.
who decided that race.
It was an open, right.
I know I right. sound better. Right. I know I
so,
sound,
so, so,
you know.
So my point was, I don't think Senator McConnell would.
You just wanted to set me off.
Would funnel money to the Democrat Alabama to beat Roy Moore, but I'm just saying stranger things have happened.
You put your match to the firecracker. You just wanted to watch Ed blow up, didn't you?
Well,
I see how you operate.
Yeah. Yeah, you did it to yourself, Ed. But anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Speaking of Chris mm-hmm. Woodward is here. Chris, President Trump, has he tweeted anything today that's noteworthy?
He has tweeted that he spoke with Judge Moore. He says he's a great guy. He went on to wish him well, and he hopes he does win in December, which is, again, when he is going to be facing off with Doug Jones for the Alabama Senate seat.
Okay, what else you got?
Well, President Trump is he's in Indiana today, home of Vice President Mike Pence. This time, President Trump is talking about tax reform, certainly something he's been in favor of. It's been on his agenda. He talked about it when he was a candidate for president. But President Trump's going to be unveiling a plan, he says, dramatically slashes the corporate tax rate to around 20%, which is a big cut. It's currently around 35%, one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world. And also, President Trump's going to be talking about lowering the individual tax brackets from 7 to 3, anywhere from 12 to 15% to 25 and 30%, 35%. So we'll be hearing a lot about that. What's interesting here, there are some Democrats that are going to, their seats are in jeopardy next year. So you'll see efforts to try to get Democrats to come on board and agree with tax reform so they can help their constituents and in their minds get reelected next year as well. So that'll be an interesting
argument. What's the idea here? What's the big idea behind this?
Well, they're thinking it's going to stimulate the economy. It's going to help stocks, things of that sort. We'll have more money in our pockets. We'll bring more money home. There'll be more money to invest in the company.
Deficits go down.
It will, in their minds, help the economy versus let's just tax
rising.
People more.
Oh, yeah, it is. Still naive over here.
Yeah.
Bless you, Ed. I love your innocent heart. I think the deficits are going to go down.
Innocent heart and Ed Vitagliano don't usually appear in the same sentence, but I thank you for that.
Here's what's interesting. They've gone to tax reform every time efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare have failed. And now it's time to really, you know, put up or shut up. I don't know how else to say it, because now that budget reconciliation is pretty much no longer an option, they're actually going to have to do what they're continuing to talk about in the way of tax reform.
I thought it was an option. Is it not an option since it didn't work to attempt to repeal Obamacare? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about reconciliation.
Right.
I know where people.
It's crunch time for that option. We're in the last few days.
That means you only have to have 51 votes.
That's right. I have breaking news for this show. President Trump this morning sent out a tweet that said they have all the votes for this health care bill, but one senator is in the hospital, thus you can't vote unless you're in the Senate chamber. So, but he's saying that they're not going to be able to hold this vote by Friday, but they do have the votes. So, the reconciliation expires Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know what you do there unless you get rid of the filibuster rule, which
September 30th, Saturday is the deadline.
Saturday. Mm-hmm. So, anyways.
Well, excuse me, but I thought the reconciliation approach only requires 50 votes.
It does, but that expires on the 30th. Mm-hmm. That option expires on the 30th.
I didn't know they had the votes for it, even a 50.
Yeah, this is as of this morning from President Trump.
Well, they were trying to buy off a couple of senators.
Maybe
Susan Collins in Maine?
Murkowski.
Well, some of them they were trying
and
to Murkowski bribe.
In Alaska. I find it hard to believe
that
bribery would work with politicians.
I'm with you, Ed.
I'm just being innocent.
I'm shocked
again.
I'm shocked.
You know, shocked.
We'll be back in 2 or 3 minutes.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Neil Mammon, founder of No Blind Faith.
And the atheist asked this question: how can there be a God when there's so much evil in the world? But if you think about it, this is not the right question. The right question they're asking is, how can there be a good God when there's so much evil in the world, right?
We'll also get news headlines and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Peace. Be still. Why are you so afraid?
Our nation is in the throes of an especially treacherous hurricane season. The magnitude of devastation is heartbreaking. But with heartbreak comes hope. Faithful believers are going in after the storms to help survivors.
We have seen the hand of God, which no man can control.
Disasters bring an opportunity for you and I to show Jesus.
Whether hurricanes, disease, financial ruin, or even loss of life, God is faithful through the storm. Even the wind and the waves obey Him. As He is faithful, may we continue to be faithful to share God's love. A reminder from the American Family Association.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. When it comes to the national anthem, it turns out most Americans agree with President Trump. 85% say they always stand in silence when they sing about the land of the free, the home of the brave. 74% with hand over heart. That's according to a new national poll conducted by Reuters. As for the National Football League, 58% of you folks say players should be required to stand during the Star-Spangled Banner. But when it comes to punishing players who refuse, well, that's where Americans break with the president. 57% say players should not be fired for disrespecting the anthem. But there's another number that might be even more important. It's from Nielsen. NFL ratings are down 11% this year. In other words, NFL players may have a constitutional right to take a knee, but viewers have a constitutional right to change the channel. And they have. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this program. Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We thank you for listening to AFR. Walker, tell folks the various ways they can listen.
Well, you can listen on your radio station, which is most likely what you're doing right now. And secondly, you can listen on the website, afr.net. And thirdly, you can listen on the app, the application on your smartphone device. You can download the AFR app and listen 24/7 wherever you are, as long as you have an internet connection.
I didn't believe Walker yesterday. He said 70,000 people have downloaded our app for American Family Radio, Ed.
I believed him. I have an innocent heart.
You do have an innocent heart.
I believe
heart,
everybody. You know,
yeah,
I just try to love everybody.
Right.
So when he told me 70, I believed him.
Right. I just love your spirit, Ed. Just love you, brother. We had a listener from Italy yesterday.
Milano. Really?
Milano. Yeah, they posted on the internet. They were listening to us from.
And I missed it. The one time.
From Milano, Italy. It was on the Facebook page yesterday. All right, Today's Issues, the program. You're listening to American Family Radio. Steve Jordahl is with us. We have Ray Comfort coming up in a few minutes, right?
That's right.
Okay. So Ray Comfort will be with us in a few minutes. But Steve Jordahl is here right now, newsman.
I am.
For Anchorman.
And glad to be here.
For for American Family Radio News.
I'm the anchorman, the Ron Burgundy. Yeah. We haven't seen that movie, folks. We don't know what it's about.
We know what it's about, but we haven't seen it.
Okay.
All right, what you got, Steve?
Boy, I tell you, we're laughing, but there is a tragedy unfolding in Puerto Rico. They were hit by two Category 5 storms in a row, and this depleted country, which was already in some financial woe to begin with. They were basically bankrupt before this whole thing ever came around. And now they are facing an unprecedented, what could turn into an unprecedented health conflict. We've got power out. 80% of the island's electricity transmission lines are damaged.
100%?
80% of the transmission lines and 100% of its distribution systems.
Now, Puerto Rico had some infrastructure problems, a lot of them, even before these hurricanes.
It was a poor country.
Right.
Territory. It's a United States territory. They're United States citizens that are there.
Yeah.
3 to 4 million people live there.
Three to four million, yep.
Listen, I've been following this story maybe more than y'all have. I've been reading about it, and we're talking Puerto Rico is an island, as I say, between 3 and 4 million people. And it has been obliterated. Okay, I'm not talking about things be back to
normal.
Got
some shingles off the roof.
Yeah, power be out for 3 or 4 days, and you know, might have to miss the soccer game this weekend. No, this place has been devastated from all over the island. Everybody's affected. Maria was the hurricane. That
was
really,
the second one, yeah.
But the first one, they escaped with not a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. But this second one wiped. It was a Category 5 that hit them head on. And if you go on the internet and you look at Puerto Rico from space at night, you know, you've seen these satellite images. You go and look at the island before Maria. I think it was Hurricane Maria, wasn't it?
Maria was the one that really hit him.
Yes.
Yes.
You look at before Maria, and then you look after Maria, you will see, you'll gasp almost at the power outages.
Looks a lot more like North Korea these days, which is the one that you can pick out on a
What are they dealing with there? Of course, the President Trump has said he's got...
I'm looking at it now. I'm sorry.
He is on his way. He's going to be there
now,
this week.
Now, today?
No, not today. I think he's... tomorrow, I think he's supposed to be there. Let me just play you a little bit of sound. This is from news coverage. ABC was there talking, a couple cuts from the governor and some of what they're going through on this island.
I'm asking for your help in this. This is... the biggest catastrophe in Puerto Rican history.
We are many days removed from Hurricane Maria making landfall, and you can see there are still several neighborhoods that are flooded.
Puerto Rico's governor says the situation is a race against time.
If we don't get unprecedented collaboration from the federal government here, this could collapse into a humanitarian crisis.
So she was 8 hours waiting for gas,
With only 5% of electricity restored so far, the 3.4 million U.S. citizens who live here are suffering in unbearable heat without basic supplies.
So there you go. That's some ABC coverage of what's going on in Puerto Rico. People standing in line for gas for 8 hours just for gas. Only 11 hospitals out of 59 on the island have fuel or power. And clean drinking water is 3.5 million residents are 44% of 3.5 million are without clean drinking water. How long do you think it's going to be until we start getting some disease spreading through this community? And now we're not only talking about needing food and water and repairs and shelter, we're talking about hospitals with no power having to treat malaria and all the different diseases that come with unclean water.
Yeah, and to add to the bad situation there, you had, you know, Houston and the surrounding area was hit very hard on the Texas coast. Mm-hmm. Then you had Florida hit, so right. All those resources, even some of the nonprofits, have all their energy at these places. They've set up shop there for months, And then this hits Puerto Rico, so we're kind of stuck in between a bad situation.
And I did exactly what Tim suggested. I just, folks, you can do this. You just simply go on whatever your search engine is. I use Google and just typed in Puerto Rico photos space and clicked on, and I'm looking at a before and after image. And you look at an island at night that is fairly well lit, especially San Juan. Now it is just along the perimeter of the island. Almost the entirety of the interior is dark.
Yeah.
So this is, you talk about the diseases, but if you don't have clean drinking water, and people don't drink, we could be looking at hundreds of deaths, and you don't want, some sort of cataclysmic outbreak of disease, epidemic.
I hate even having to bring up politics in this. I hate it. But let me just say this. I've heard some complaints that President Trump isn't paying attention. He's talking about the NFL and all that kind of stuff. Puerto Rico's governor said that the president and the administration is doing just about everything it could possibly do. He's very happy with their response. It's just, the need is so overwhelming that you just almost can't get resources there quick enough. Mm-hmm. So,
and you're not just looking at resources for a weekend. You're looking at getting, initial food, clean water, those kind of things, gasoline to power generators. Some people may have generators, but no gasoline. You're looking at trying to get infrastructure back up, but you're looking at food and water, medical supplies, possibly for months.
I just got off the phone about 10 minutes ago with a pastor that I contacted in Houston because I wanted to keep that story kind of in mind before all this other stuff happened. And his name is Pastor Jorge Cardenas. And he had a church in Houston, and it was flooded out when they released water from the reservoirs. That all being said, he is still out of his home. He still doesn't have a place to live. And this is in Houston. Where he's connected by land to the rest of the United States, where it's been months, and it wasn't hit nearly half as hard, despite the flooding. It wasn't hit nearly half as hard as Puerto Rico. And so he's still out of his home. So what's going on in Puerto Rico? I don't think we can even begin to overstate the problem.
Yeah, like you said, to introduce this humanitarian crisis is in crisis with a capital C. What's overshadowed some of Puerto Rico's situation is, of course, what happened to our own folks here on the homeland with Texas and Florida in particular. Right. Texas in particular, what happened there with the rain and the flooding down in the Houston area and then Louisiana. So, all that sort of overshadowed what happened in Puerto Rico, but I don't know what you do exactly or where to start. Somebody does. I guess that's why you sign up to be president of the United States or governor of Puerto Rico. But yeah. I don't know where you when the whole island's leveled. I don't know where you start.
I have no evidence to base this on other than my knowledge of the body of Christ. But I guarantee you, if we were to land there right now. Whoever is those that are doing the most help are the churches and
those bad Christians.
The
haters, the hate groups are there.
Right.
Churches and parachurch organizations like I know Samaritan's Purse has been flying stuff in and that kind of stuff. So
you're right. They need right now. They're in a survival mode more than you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's your next story, Steve Jordahl?
Well, let me get through my papers on Puerto Rico. I'm going to be speaking today with George Barna. I know we talked with him yesterday, but George Barna is coming out today with some new numbers on abortion and America's thoughts about the abortion epidemic. It's not about the number of abortions or how Planned Parenthood is decimating the country. What this is about is the way that Americans are treating the topic. And let me just give you some conundrums that he is bringing up. Did you know that in this country, a majority of those who say they're pro-life also say that they would not have an abortion themselves, but they think everybody should have the right to choose. One quarter of those that say they are pro-life believe abortion should be allowed if the baby is less than a month old. About a quarter of those that say they're pro-life say abortion should be legal in all or most circumstances. We are losing focus, and we're losing our pro-life base, not because they're sliding on this issue.
This is Barna, right?
This is George Barna, and he's we talked yesterday about his work with what he called those sage cons, those evangelicals. Right. This is completely different.
But the point I was going to make is what I like about George Barna is a lot of times he drills down. Mm-hmm. That's why he's, as far as I know, was the first to differentiate between those who claimed to be born again,
right?
Yeah.
But didn't really know what that meant,
right?
And he, you know, teased out who were true Bible believing evangelicals. This looks like he's done the same thing because you know one of the key trends that I believed had been happening for the last 10 years is that the millennial generation and that just came just before it were more pro-life than their fathers and mothers.
Right.
But what Barna seems to be saying is they may declare themselves pro-life, but what they mean by that is not what we traditionally call pro-life.
Right. Just overall, and at this point, I'm going to talk to him and flesh out some of these numbers later today.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, on balance, a plurality of adults, 47% of adults claim to be pro-choice. 38% of Americans claim to be pro-life. 8% say they don't really have a position. But even those that are claiming to be pro-life are a little squishy on that. So I'm calling attention to something that I think is an alarming trend, because if we, as social conservatives, and we can agree on spending, or we can agree on how the military, or disagree on how the military should be spent. But when it comes to what makes this ministry conservative, it's social issues, it's marriage, mm-hmm. it's life. These are the core issues Bible-based issues.
Was this among sage cons?
No, this was just among regular Americans.
That's the problem. And this goes to what George Barner talks about often is, folks who say they're conservative or Christian,
mm-hmm.
are even born again,
right.
and they don't really know what that means, and they don't know what the Bible says about these issues. I bet if you gauge sage cons, people who are born again believers who vote in elections, it would be up and around the 80 and 90%.
I guarantee. No, I don't. I agree with you. 100%. I agree with you. My problem is though that what we need is a pro-life ethic in this country among everybody.
Yeah.
We don't just need that hardcore few strong believers to do this. I mean, maybe that's what we're left with.
Right. Well, but this issue would be around probably as long as we're alive here, and we keep working for the pro-life cause because God cares about those innocent human lives that are snuffed out in abortion clinics all over America every day. You know, we've won a lot on the pro-life issue. We've lost some as well, but we're going to keep working each and every day. And getting the pro-life message out and the reason for it based on the Bible is something we do every day here on American Family Radio. And I think we've been able to win a lot of, quote, converts on this issue over by explaining why abortion is immoral, why God is against it, why God champions life in the Bible instead of death, and why babies, human life especially, means something, and is an invaluable. we should continue to promote the pro-life cause, because God promotes the pro-life cause. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio. Steve Jordahl there. Reporting with Tim and Ed and Walker. And Ray Comfort is on with us from Southern California. Ray's got a new, he's always got something new out. but he's got a new book out, which I think you're going to like, which you may want to use for a Christmas gift, for example. And he joins us from Southern California, president of Living Waters Ministries. Ray, good morning to you.
Good morning to you guys, too.
So you wrote the book of Proverbs? I got it here in front of me. I'm holding it. It looks like the Bible, and it's got by Ray Comfort on here.
Yeah, it's a daily devotional, 365 readings of Proverbs, and it'll save yourself some pain. You know, people say, why'd you write something on Proverbs? It's because I'm a klutz. I'm doing dumb things almost every day, and I need the wisdom of God just daily. So I'm daily crying out to God, give me wisdom, because if you have the wisdom of God, you'll think right, you'll do right, you'll say right, you'll preach right, your marriage will be right, because you've got wisdom. It's the principal thing. And the scriptures say, he that has wisdom loves his own soul. And so this is broken up into 365 daily readings, but I've got a hidden agenda. Not only do I want to encourage people and help save themselves from pain in daily living, but I want to encourage them into the agenda of evangelism. We seem to have forgotten. Most of the church has as much desire for the word evangelism as the world has for the word righteousness, but that's the answer to the whole pro-life issue. The second I was born again, I became pro-life, strongly pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-everything God loved, because he'd given me a new heart with new desires. So that's the reason for the writing of this book.
You know, I'd say the same thing, Ray. That's odd that you say that. When I became a Christian, I was almost 20 years old. I was going to Boston College. I was on the debate team in college, and I argued for abortion and favored abortion. And when I became a Christian, I immediately changed. I mean, nobody argued me into the position. Nobody, you know, talked me out of my old, you know, arguments for abortion. I automatically knew it was wrong. I know it was because of the Holy Spirit. That's fascinating that would happen to somebody. And to me, it is further evidence of the fact that God is real, and then when a person is converted, there is a change that cannot be explained by psychology or human effort. It is a spirit-wrought change in a person.
Yeah, God says in this word, the new covenants, when he causes us to walk in his statutes. In other words, he causes us to do the things he wants us to do without him even telling us to do them. And that's the miracle of the new birth. Now, this little book is called Think on These Things, and one thing I've got in there is how important it is to meditate on God's Word daily. I've been reading the Bible every day without fail for 44 years. I thought every Christian did that until about 35 years ago. I began asking churches and found that it was about 5% of Christians read the Word daily without fail, and yet they'll feed their stomachs daily without fail, but not their spirit. And so what I'm encouraging people to do is to meditate on the Word. My dog eats food like if I can use the word, idiot. We spend a lot of money to get him good food in a can. We put it in his plate, and it's gone within like 3 seconds. And I said, what's wrong with you? Have you got taste buds in your stomach? Didn't you? This is good food. Taste it. And we attack the Word of God the same way. And I read 10 chapters today. No. Chew over the scriptures. Grab one or two verses, chew them over, let them become part of you and energize you throughout that day. There are proverbs that have saved me getting beaten up when I've been open air preaching. So the soft answer turns away wrath. I remember once I was driving my car and accidentally cut a guy off in a van, and he was very, very angry. He parked his van in front of me. I could see it was an angry park. He got out of the van and started walking across towards my car, stomping across, big guy. I thought, I wonder if I should get up and, you know, out of the car and stand up. I thought, that wouldn't make too much difference. So I wound the window down. He came up and he said, that was a very stupid thing to do. And I said, yes, I know. I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. And he said, oh, have a nice weekend. That was a soft answer, turn away wrath. And if I'd said to him, which is a natural way to respond, you're traveling too close, fathead, I would have ended up with a sore nose. And Proverbs is sort of stuff like, when you get out of bed, don't greet your neighbor loudly. It'll be like a curse to you. Well, that's what I tend to do. I'm that sort of person. Jump out of bed, I'm alive, yippee. No, keep quiet for a couple of hours, because a lot of people aren't like that. So there's wisdom in Proverbs for daily living, how to make your marriage work better, the whole sexual issue, how to control your passions and your appetites. And so it's practical daily living. And I'm excited to say that Sam's Club even picked it up. So we're very excited to have it in a secular place like that.
Absolutely.
Well, Sam, that's good, Sam's Club, because that's That's where we buy our dog food so that our dog eats in 10 seconds. So that's
what excellent. About your dog food?
All right, Ray, what else is going on at Living Waters Ministries? You guys, your goal is to evangelize the world, I know, but primarily you're trying to train and equip Christians to be able to witness to people, right?
Yeah, what we do is we try and dissipate people's fears, and there are simple biblical principles which I've got and think on these things. But one is, you know, could I ever talk you guys into jumping into an icy pond that's so cold it would kill you within 3 minutes of being in the water? You'd say that would never happen. But I said, what say there's a 4-year-old boy found in the pool? Well, you wouldn't think twice about it. You'd jump in and save him. You wouldn't think of your own flesh. And evangelism is icy water. None of us want to get into it, but love will motivate us. So what we do is say, don't pray for less fear, pray for more love, because love is what will drive you to reach out to the lost, because we've forgotten that hell exists, that every day 150,000 people are being swallowed by this terrible thing called death. The whole world is worried about the deficit, American deficit, North Korea, hurricanes, floods. But the Great Reaper is what we should all be concerned about. Well, 2,000 years ago, the sickle was taken out of his hand with that first beat in the heart of the Son of God as he lay in that tomb. That tiny, faint heartbeat was the greatest sound this world could ever hope to hear, because it meant that Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so we need to take that message to the lost and say, hey, you know, God will give you a new heart so you love that which is right. And that's how to bring our nation to righteousness, through the power of the gospel.
Thank you, Ray. Take care, my friend. I hope people go get your book called Think on These Things, Wisdom for Life from Proverbs.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's Ray Comfort joining
us. Looks awesome. Yep. I glanced through it, and it's got some – he's an excellent teacher anyway.
Yeah.
And
Every time I read that now, I'm going to hear it in a cool Australian accent.
New Zealand.
Sorry. Sorry, Brother Ray.
It was cool. Whatever it was cool.
Better we got Ray in here. That's an insult.
I know.
To New Zealanders.
Didn't mean that.
Be considered, get confused with Australians. They get that all the time. All right, so we've got 2 minutes left.
Hey, I got a snowflake story. You want to hear something from the Snowflake Files?
Hey, 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 snowflake.
Snowflake.
My pretty little snowflake.
Snowflake.
That's enough. That's enough snowflake song. we have you've been hearing about all the trouble at the UC Berkeley campus, right? Well, Berkeley, faculty and the people that run things there at Berkeley wanted to make sure that everybody felt okay about things, and so they put up what they called an empathy tent. And it's where people could go if they get a little discouraged from the fighting, or if they needed, you know.
And they can empathize with one another.
They can.
Yeah.
Well, they had to arrest a couple of people because they got into some fights at the empathy tent.
You're lying.
I'm not. Eddie Robinson's 47-year-old from Oakland. I don't know why he was on the Berkeley campus. Probably didn't go to school. Well, he may go to school there.
He was arrested. That's one thing for sure.
And then there was another. A lady that was arrested for bringing a weapon. We got
into
Ricky
the empathy
Joseph.
Tent. You will empathize or else.
That's
she
right.
brought a weapon to the empathy tent?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The
snowflakes can't even get along.
They're
having some problems.
What is this world coming to?
Right.
So they got in a fight. So any idea why they got in a fight?
Well, it was.
I'm more empathetic than you are. No, you're not.
No.
What did Ray say? Fathead. No, you're not. More empathetic than me.
No, it was between the Patriot Prayer people who were also trying to find some empathy. And the liberals at Berkeley.
They
just took the riot right on into the empathy tent.
Empathy tent? You got to be kidding me.
I'm not.
In the words of Dayberry, that great philosopher, you can't make this stuff.
We are not making this stuff up.
All right, we've got a special coming up now, right, Walker?
That's right. We have an In God We Trust special celebrating American Family Association's 40 years on the battlefront.
So 5 minutes of news and then a special about the history and the work of us here at American Family Association coming up for the next half hour. Hope you enjoy that. We'll see you back here live tomorrow again at 10:05 Central Time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.